I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel in chapter number 2, and I'll even stand for the reading of the Word of God if you will stand with me, please. Mark in chapter number 2. And y'all pray for my eyes. I'm not doing very well with my glasses that I have and having a hard time seeing lately. But I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and Lord willing, read through verse number 12 of this chapter and bring the thought that I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart for today. The Bible said, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Amen. We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning, for the privilege we have to be here. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, the good singing, how it's already blessed my heart and soul just to be with your people and be in the Lord's house. I thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us. Help us today, Lord, to explain it in such a plain way that even a child could understand it. And I pray that hearts will be converted for thee. I do pray for those today that are sick, Lord, those that are afflicted, those that have problems in their life and needs in their own personal life. Help them, I pray. Help the church, Lord. Help us with our financial finances that we, Lord, that we have. And help us, I pray, Lord, with other needs that we have, revival, the power of God, the presence of God. I pray that you'll bless every soul that's here. Do a great and marvelous work that we all might be amazed at it as these were in this passage of Scripture. That we might leave here today saying, I've never seen it on this fashion. Help us now, I pray, to preach with the power of God, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I don't know as I need to get up real close to this thing. I keep thinking I'm talking through that microphone, but I'm not. Amen. I want to take this passage of Scripture today and preach to you for a little while. On the thought of 4 + 1 = grace. 4 + 1 = grace. And my desire is that God might use this and maybe some other messages in the future to burden our hearts somewhat for those that are without Christ and without hope. Amen. As I look at the multitudes today, I wonder in my soul where many of them are going to spend eternity. And you know, except a man be born again, Jesus said, where I am, thither ye cannot come. So except a man or a woman is born again by the grace of God, they'll spend an eternity in hell. And the Lord has left you and I that are saved. He's left us here to be salt in the earth and light in the world. He's left us here to be a witness. And a witness, as I already said, I think Brother Hardin said it last week, is someone that can just simply testify of what they've seen. And if you can testify to the fact that you've seen Christ lift you, then you can be a witness for Him. And He said in the Word of God, in fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, "You shall be witnesses unto Me." After that, the power of God has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto Me. Now, I'm afraid that power of God we're missing in our day. I don't think there's many that are really hungering after God. There's not many like that little heart that's thirsting after the water brooks, that's thirsting after God today. And we need a hunger and we need a thirst in our soul for the power and the presence of God in our life. If we'll get it in our life, we'll have it in the church. And I'd really like to see some people, I'm serious, I'd like to see some of us get under a great burden, even as Nehemiah was, for those that were back at Jerusalem that were in great reproach, and for the city that walls had been torn down and the gates had been burned with fire. May the Lord help us to fall in, get under that burden today for our loved ones, our family. You know, if we'd all just become a witness to our family and labor to see our family members saved, you'd be surprised at the growth we might see in the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about just numbers now. I'm talking about people truly getting born again. I got a card laying in there on my desk. I don't know who put it in there, from a church in Owensboro. But they're having Roundup Day. Now, I don't know what that is, Roundup Day. I thought that's when you went out and rounded up cattle. You know, you brought in cows and horses and one thing and another. But they're having a round-off day, and they're having a cowboy balloon man there. And they're going to have a chili cook-off, whatever that is. And they want everybody to bring food and everybody come and share and have a big time. But they don't say anything at all about the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm simply saying that people have lost their burden for souls. Now, we've got a burden for numbers, but we've lost our burden for the souls of men. And I say this without any reservation at all, that a person that dies without Christ will spend eternity in hell. There's absolutely no other place they can go. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's heaven or hell. That's it. One or two places. And somebody says, "Well, what about death?" Well, it's appointed unto man wants to die. Wants to die. You don't have to have the second death. It's appointed unto man wants to die, but you don't have to die twice. If you die twice, I'm talking about two deaths, you're going to be that death that's cast into the lake of fire. That's what that's talking about. Now, a man's got to die to himself. I understand that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about literally death. Death. And I want to preach this morning on this. And maybe God will take a few little feeble thoughts that I have and help us to get in that burden that we need to get today. You know, it just simply says there in verse 1 that our Lord entered again. He had been there before, and He entered into Capernaum. The Bible said it was noise that He was in the house. You know, that's an amazing thing to me, that it was noise that He was in the house. For Paul said about this man, the Lord Jesus, that he did not set out to gain any kind of a reputation. He wasn't looking to be a reputable man. He wasn't looking to be well known. But yet it seemed like everywhere he went, people followed him. There was just something different about this man. Now, we know today that he is God in flesh and was God in flesh at that time. But he had something about him that nobody else had. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was a power of God upon him and within him. He had a different attitude, a different character. He had a heart of love and a heart of joy. And people seemed to follow him. And it was noise abroad. That is, when people heard that he was there, they began to talk about it. He wasn't looking for a reputation, but people began to talk about the fact that Jesus is down there in that house. And you know, that'd be a blessing for you and I today if we could hear the same thing said about Jesus, that He is down there at the house. I say that without any reservation, that we need Christ in the house. Amen. Now, the interpretation here is that the house of Israel. He went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's an absolute fact. He was in the house. But you know, it's a strange thing and really a terrible thing that he came unto his own. He came to Israel and his own received him not. But I'm glad that as many as did receive him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Hey, and even to them that believe on his name. There's where it's at, folks, is believing on his name. Amen. So he came to the house of Israel. But you know something? We don't only need him there in the house of Israel, but I'm going to tell you something else. We need him in the house of God. There's no question about that. We need the Lord in the church. We need his power and presence right here today. Somebody said, well, what would happen? Well, when he got in that house, it was noised abroad that he was there, and great multitudes came, and to the point that the press was so, there were so many there that you could not even get to him, not even around the door that he had entered in to get into that house. There was a great multitude of people come to see the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If we ever get God the way he ought to be here at Island Ford Baptist Church or any other church, I'll guarantee you people will come to see what it's like in a place where Christ is at. He makes the difference. Like Brother Gray said in Sunday school, without him we can do nothing. And except we abide in the vine, we are nothing, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you, you get Christ in the house of God, there'll be people come just to see what it's like in a place where the power of the Spirit of God is at and where Christ is. Hey, he wasn't just there for a daily visit. He came there to do a work of grace. Now I'm telling you, when a work of grace is done in the house of God, I'm telling you that it will attract people, amen, and it'll bring joy to the people that's there. Somebody say amen. So we're not only was Christ in the house of Israel and the house of the church, but what about needing Christ in your home? We need Christ in our homes today. There's not a doubt about that. Most homes that we know of today are Christless. They're without God in that home. I'm telling you, I've never seen people that are in the mess that they're in today. I tried to talk to two or three different people down there at the hospital where Brother Maney was. And they act like they don't even know anything at all about the Lord. You mention the name of Jesus, and it's like it offends them. Well, I'm going to tell you, hey, it doesn't offend me at all about the name of Jesus. It didn't offend these people, the multitudes gathered about that house. Now, I'm telling you, there's still something about that name. Oh, there's something about the name of Jesus. His name's above every name. And I'm telling you, when you mention the name of Jesus, it does something in my soul that I cannot explain. I'm telling you, it sets a fire burning down in my heart that I'm satisfied that all the devils of hell don't have the ability to put it out today. There's a fire burning in my bones, and that fire is to tell folks about the grace of God that will reach down an omnipotent hand of mercy and lift them out of the depths of their sin and save them by the marvelous grace of God. I've got that fire burning right now. If you can't tell that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Am I? Say amen right there. Oh, what a fire, hallelujah, that burns in our soul. And I'm telling you, we need Christ in our house. It'll put the honey back in the honeymoon. That's right. I forget who it was. It was, I remember one of those nurses when I was up here at the emergency room said something about, there might have been one of the doctors. It was a doctor the other day. Said something to me, and I said, well, I said, I'll tell you how I keep the honey in the honeymoon. I said, I carry my wife a cup of cappuccino every morning. And that nurse said, a cup of cappuccino every morning? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, how long you been married? I said, 45 years. She said, unto the Lord. She said, I can't hardly believe that. You know why she couldn't believe it? Because people are not staying married that long today. Amen. Amen. That's right. Men and women trade husbands and wives about as often as we change our socks. That's right. Marriages don't last long today. And children don't stay in the home much today. I'm going to tell you why it is. It's because Jesus is not in that house. When, hey, he come to the house of Israel, But we need him in the house of God, and we need him in our house today. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. Wouldn't you like for it to be noised abroad to your family, your relatives, and those out there that Christ is living in your home, and it's a noticeable thing? That when people walk in your house, they can just sense the Spirit of God being in that home. That his love and his grace and his mercy is just there in that house, and folks can tell that he abides in that house.
Right.
What he told little old Zacchaeus, wasn't it? He said, "Get down out of that tree. Today salvation's come to your house, that I must abide with you today." Amen. I'm going to tell you, Jesus still abides. Amen. We need him in the house of the heart. I'm going to say sinners, that's where sinners name. You get him in. You get him in this house. I'm talking about this tabernacle that we're dwelling in. I'm talking about this body of ours. Honey, it'll make a change outside of this world. Yes, it will. Just to know him and the forgiveness of sin. I'm telling you what it says. When this man was forgiven of his sin in this verse, the Bible said they were all amazed and glorified God. And they said, "Hey, we ain't never seen it on that fashion." I'm going to tell you, when Brother Shelby Wilson walked in that night and that ponytail that long had been cut off, I said, "I ain't never seen it on that fashion, boys." Amen. I'm telling you, when somebody really gets born again, it changes them. Old things do pass away, and all things are become new. And so it was noise abroad that he was in the house. And the Bible said, and straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now, I want to say something here, and I don't want you to take it. Please don't take it the wrong way. I hope you don't. But it said that there were so many there that there was no room to receive them. No, not even about the door. Now, I don't understand this. There was multitudes there. The Bible, see, Jesus himself said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And there were so many around the door that people around him could not even get to the door. But there was one got in. Now, don't take this wrong. The Bible doesn't say anything at all about the multitudes getting saved that was gathered about the door that couldn't get in the door. But I'm going to tell you, when they couldn't get in the door, four of them brought one boy that had the palsy and took him up on the roof and broke up the roof and let him down inside where Jesus was at. And I'm going to tell you, that's the point right there, is we need to get people to God. If we can get sinners to God, I can't save a sinner. You can't save a sinner. But if we can get a sinner to Jesus, I'm telling you, Jesus can save him and get him to God. He is the only way. He is the truth and he is the life, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, we need to get sinners to Christ. That's the whole gist of it. We need to get sinners to Christ. Now, and the Bible said there that he preached the word. He preached the word to them. That don't amaze me at all. I expect that. For Jesus to preach to sinners, don't you? He preached every sinner he could preach to. When he got that crowd together, he turned the word loose and began to preach. Now I'm telling you, preaching will still work today. It makes me sick to read things like "slain in there on my desk." Somebody said, "You oughtn't to talk about that. You're on the radio." I know where I'm at. I didn't start preaching out of this microphone yesterday. I know exactly where I'm at. But I'm telling you, when you start having pony rides and chili suppers and cowboy day and roundup day and balloon artists in the house of God and forget about preaching in the house of God, you have turned it into an absolute carnival. It's not a preaching service or a worship service. It's a carnival. And if you want to go to the carnival, it's usually down here in August. Go down there to it, but don't try to bring it in the house of God. This pulpit is for preaching. This church is for preaching. This church is for fellowship and preaching and understanding the Word of God and growing in grace and knowledge of Him and falling in love with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's right. It's not here for anything else either. A lot of churches have made it that way, but it's not that way. Now, notice this. It said in verse 3, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, I'm going to read this. Hey, they had one sick of the palsy, a sinner. They were trying to get this sinner to Jesus. Now, I'm going to say some other things. I'm going to come back to this. But he was born of four. In other words, four people were carrying this man. Four of them born, carrying this one man. Now, it doesn't say who they were. But I'll say one thing, they were outside of the multitude. If the multitude represents the world, these four must have been of the world, but they wasn't in the world. So I'm taking it they were probably men that were disciples of Christ. They were followers of Christ. They were not in the world, they were of the world, but they wasn't in the world. And I'm going to tell you, a lost man will never get a saved man to Christ. It takes saved people to get lost people to Jesus. Not lost people. Hey, lost people will never get the job done. It takes a saved man to get it. So it don't say there. It don't even mention their names. Isn't it something? If we do something, we want bragged on about it. We want to be talked about. Boasted on. Oh, how so-and-so done this and done that and done this. But yet here's four men that got a man that had the palsy, a lost man, a sinner, to Christ, and they glorified God about it, said, we've never seen it on this fashion, and the Holy Ghost didn't even mention their names in the Bible.
Right.
Never said a word about them. Hey, we don't need recognition.
Amen.
We'll get it someday, but it won't be here. I'll guarantee we'll get it at the judgment seat. Amen. When we get to heaven, in fact, when he comes back, he'll bring his rewards with him, the Bible said. Hallelujah to God. We may not be recognized much now, just a bunch of old clods, but amen, we're a bunch of old Kentucky hicks, saved by the grace of God, that I want to see sinners saved. Amen. Come on now. I'm going to say we're not going to be rewarded much now, but we will be rewarded in the by and by. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me. Who might these four be? Well, can I say this? The Bible said when Jesus saw, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, one of them might have been faith. It took a little faith to get that man to where he was at. There's no doubt about it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's Jesus in there preaching. They might have said he's preaching the gospel. Old Charlie over here has got the palsy and can't make it. Let's go over and get him on a stretcher and bring him over here and we'll get him to Jesus where he can hear the gospel and be saved. But when they got there with him, they couldn't get in it for the press. So somehow, I don't know how, but somehow they couldn't get through the door. They went up on the roof. When they couldn't get in, they come down. Whoa. I'm going to tell you something. The gospel, we didn't go up to the gospel, but the gospel came down to us in the person of Christ. Hey, and he came down, ladies and gentlemen. He that was in heaven was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And brought the gospel down to this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So it might have been faith. Or it might have been hope. One of them might have been hope. We don't hope for the things we see. But we hope for the things that we don't see. Why? Why should we hope for things that we see with the naked eye? We hope for things that we don't see. Things that hope reaches out and gets hold, if I can use it this way, of what we call the impossible. Well, it can't be done. It can't. Hope can't get the job done. Because hope gets a hold of God. And is there anything too hard for him? He took a woman by the name of Sarah that was beyond her flower of her youth, and she conceived a child by the name of Isaac. He took a woman by the name of Elizabeth that was beyond the flower of her youth, and she brought forth a man by the name of John the Baptist. He took a woman by the name of Hannah that could not conceive and bear children, and she conceived and brought forth a child by the name of Samuel. And the Bible said not one word of Samuel fell to the ground, folks. Praise God. And she had, I think, six other children besides Samuel when that thing was all over. That's right. Hope Somebody said, well, old so-and-so over here is too hard. He can't get in. Where's our hope? And where's our faith? And one of them could have been charity. One of them could have looked at that old boy laying there and said, my. The tears may have rolled out of his eyes and began to roll down his cheeks. And he looked at hope and looked at faith and said, surely with a little faith and a little hope and a little love, we can do something for him. Jesus is over here in the house preaching the Word of God. And if we can just get him there, surely our love. Hey, are you listening to me? Surely our love ought to be willing to help sinners get to God today. And then the other one may have been obedience. The fourth one may have been obedience. We're supposed to obey the Word of God. And He said that we are to be witnesses. We are to go into all the world. We're to tell the story. We're to preach the gospel. We're to pray. We're to labor as much as we can to get those sinners in. Now, you stay right with me, okay? Now, these four is the number of the world. Bringing a sinner to Jesus, one is the number of God. So these four men are bringing a sinner to Jesus, makes five. And the four plus the one makes grace. Amen. Amen. I ain't got the sinner in there yet. Somebody said, why ain't you got him in there? I'll show you why. I'll tell you here in just a minute. But here's four men that are in the world, but they're not of the world. They're bringing a sinner to Christ. Those four, faith, hope, charity, and obedience, plus Jesus, makes grace. Four plus one makes grace. And I'm telling you, which for by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not even of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for grace. Hey, I'm just telling you this morning, if it wasn't for the good grace of God, I'd be in hell this morning. Amen. My soul would be on fire forever. But I'm glad, thank God, that grace came down to where I was. When I couldn't reach up, He reached down. When I couldn't get out, He came in. When I couldn't get up, He lifted me. When I couldn't walk, He held me. Well, that's His wonderful name. Thank God for grace. God loving the unlovely. Are you pretty lovely this morning? You'll never get in. God loves the unlovely. God loves sinners. Amen. He didn't come to save good people. He come to save bad people. Like that one, was it a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe? One of them, he said, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. He said, I tithe and do this and do that and do that. That old publican just smote on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Amen. Jesus said, I'm telling you, that publican went home justified. God could care less about your works for salvation. Amen. You couldn't work enough in 10 million lifetimes to get saved. I'm going to tell you how you're saved. It's by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in that baptistry. It's not in your work. Hey, no. It's not in doing good, although we ought to be baptized and we ought to do good. But I'm telling you, it's by faith in the shed blood of the Son of God. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Now, those four plus one, the four men plus Jesus, makes five. But you add the sinner and you got six. And that's the number of man. That's the number of man. So here's four men in the world bringing a sinner to Jesus. Five, the sinner himself, he's a worldling. He's a worldling. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of worldlings out there today that need to be brought out of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now stay right with me. So we find four men bringing a sinner out of the world to Jesus that he might be healed, that he might be delivered, and that he might be saved. Now I've got about three little points and I'll be done. I want to see their opportunity that they seized upon. What an opportunity. There was Jesus in the house. He was preaching. And there was a multitude around. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we've got a wonderful opportunity today. I'm going to tell you, you ain't got much of a preacher, but we've got a great God.
Amen.
We've got a great Savior whose heart goes out to mankind. His creatures are all around us and they're dying and going to hell.
Amen.
And I'm saying, hey, unless we get them to Jesus,
Amen. Oh,
like these four men did, they're going to die in their sins and burn forever in an eternal hell. I wish I had the story to tell you about the story of what I saw up in Kenai, Alaska, that man in that furnace, in that crematory. 1,800 degrees and flames jumping from rib to rib on that man. I'm talking about a crack that wide in the bottom of that crematory. And that man, that old body of that old man, was the most horrible looking sight that I'd ever seen in my life. And if some of you had seen it, it might open up your eyes to what hell is like. I thought in my soul, I said, Lord, that poor old man's body. And the Lord said, no, not that poor old man's body. That poor old man's soul. That body will soon be ashes, but that soul will burn forever. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Read your Bible. If you don't believe that, you're yet lost and in your sin and on your way to hell. But I'm telling you, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's not talking about just a physical, the soul. It's not talking about it dying, annihilated. It's talking about being cast into a lake of fire where, with death and hell being cast into that lake of fire. And that soul will burn forever, ladies and gentlemen. Ever. And that fire of hell will never be quenched. Never be quenched. But it'll burn forever. They seized upon that opportunity. They saw that man with the pulse and said, hey, if we can get him to Jesus, he's over there.
Amen.
Now, Jesus, when he got over there, Jesus saved. Jesus was there to save. And the Spirit of God was active, working in that place. They had an opportunity. You know, if we see a little bit of the Spirit of God working here, we ought to seize upon that opportunity to try to get people here to hear the gospel. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I don't know if God's here or not. Well, hey, why don't you get Him here? Why don't you get Him here? We say, well, the preacher ain't got Him here. Well, why don't you get Him here? Are you a Christian? Just because I'm a preacher don't make me have supposedly any more ability to get a sinner here than what you do. Amen. But they had that opportunity. But look at the opposition. When they got there, people were all a multitude around the house. They couldn't get to the door. They met with opposition in the multitude that hindered them. And I'm telling you, that multitude out there will hinder you. You try to start talking to somebody about God, and I'll guarantee you. Start trying to talk to some young person about God, and I'll guarantee you, an old sire puss mama or an old ungodly hateful daddy, they'll do everything they can do to keep. Oh, they're already saved. Yeah, oh, they are. When did they get saved? Oh, they were baptized when they were three. Oh, they were. I didn't ask you, were they baptized? Well, they don't really need to go to church. Church is an outdated thing. No, church is not an outdated thing. It's always in season. The house of God is always in season, and preaching is always in season.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, not always. You're to preach in season, out of season. Well, if we preach, it makes it in season, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. If it's out of season, we preach, it gets in season.
Amen.
So it's always right to preach. It's always right to... Now, they say, I'm not going to cast my pearl before a bunch of swine. I'm not going out and preach to a bunch of queers. Now, I know a lot of people talk about sodomites and they can get saved and this and that. You're looking at one preacher that if a man goes that far into sin that he's a professed sodomite, shacked up and living with some other man, I don't think he's got it. I believe he's a reprobate. I believe I can prove that by the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm not casting my pearl before a bunch of swine. Somebody said they read the other day where two women were married. And they were giving a 13-year-old boy shots to prevent him from maturing into manhood, that he might live to get old enough to decide what he wanted to be, a man or a woman. May I say to you, when Christ conceived him in the womb, God said he's a man. And I'm going to tell you what changing that boy will make out of him. A reprobate. that'll die and spend eternity in hell. You better believe that's right. Friend, we better start seizing on some opportunities that we have to see people saved. But I'm not going to cast my pearl before swine in order to do it. Hey, then, not only the multitude, but they took this man apparently on a stretcher and got him up on the roof. And the Bible said that they broke up that roof. They broke it up. I don't know how they broke it up. But I'm talking about obstacles that they overcome to get that man to Christ. That he had over, that multitude was so thick you couldn't get to the house. How they got through that multitude with a stretcher and a man on it is beyond me. They couldn't get to the door to get him in, so they went up on the roof and they tore up the roof. But you know what the amazing thing is? Here is the amazing thing about this. It said in verse number 4, I believe, that they broke up the roof where he was. I wonder how big that house was. If Jesus was in this building today, and four men took a sinner up on the roof to break up the roof and let him down on a stretcher where Jesus was, how would they know where he was? It's a pretty good sized building. What if he's up here and they let him down back there in the fellowship hall? What if he's back there in the kitchen and they let him down up there in the radio station? Are you hearing me? Hey, they let him down in that house where Jesus was. I believe they had a little birdie around hanging around that said, right here's the spot, gentlemen. And that little birdie was the whole, whoa, that little birdie was the Holy Ghost. Yes, indeed. And that Holy Spirit of God said, he's right under you, boys. Turn up right here and let him down. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because the Holy Ghost will draw sinners to Jesus. That's right. I'm telling you, it was the Holy Ghost active in that, that drew that man to Christ and they let him down right where he was. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to get sinners right exactly where he is, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, I'd better not shout too loud. Brother Dick might turn me off. I saw Frizz the other day and he said, I was preaching on Moses and doing pretty good and I let out a whoop and he turned me off. I said, well, have you ever heard people shout? He said, well, yeah. I was saying, now, Brother Dick, if you listen, I started to whoop, but I thought of you, buddy. So don't want you to turn me off. Hey, man, you might want to get somebody of God that's lost, and I don't want you to turn me off. But they let him down right exactly where he was. And I wrote down, how did they know on the outside of the building, being on the outside of the building, where Jesus was at on the inside? They had to be told by the Holy Spirit. There's only one way. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is marvelous. He leads sinners to Christ. He points sinners to Christ. This crowd up here, that all they want to do is glorify the Holy Spirit. I'm not downgrading the Spirit of God. He's got a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous work. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about him. Jesus said, when he has come, he will glorify me. For he'll speak of me and not of himself. And I'm saying a whole lot of people that's putting a whole lot talking about, well, the Holy Spirit made me speak in tongues and the Holy Spirit made me do this. Now, hey, I'm going to tell you something. And they brag on the Spirit. I'm going to tell you the Spirit brags on Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. When you get up to testify, brag on him. Don't brag on me. I don't have any bragging rights and boasting rights, and neither do you. But I'm going to tell you, we can brag in Jesus. We can boast about him. I can still be back at Underwood, still in the UU. But brother, I'm going to tell you, there came a day when Jesus passed by where I was. And I'm telling you, it wasn't by no accident. The Holy Ghost come by and said, there he is, Hall, there he is. There, just like he did to John the Baptist. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Will you receive him today? And I said, I believe I will, Lord. I believe I will. Amen. When I said, I believe I will, thank God I got in by the grace of God. Now the question, are you in today? And if you are in, how far are you in? How deep are you in? Are you just hanging around the edges? Or are you really in? I'm coming out. Are you really in? How far are you in him today? Praise God. I'd hate to think I was hanging on by a thread. Right. No. Men and women need to get in now. Let me go on here. I want to notice the outcry the scribes made in verse 6 and 7. But there were certain scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God? And they began to fuss about it. Because Jesus forgave that man of his sins. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? They had it right. Nobody can forgive sins but God. But the thing, they missed the boat.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to say he was God. I want to say he is God.
Yes.
He is God.
Yes.
They just missed the boat. Nobody can forgive sins but God. And Jesus said, I've done this that ye may know. That ye may know that the Son of Man has power where? On this earth, thank God, to forgive sins, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad for the day he came to where I was and forgave me of all my sins, hallelujah. Washed me in the blood of the Lamb, birthed me into the family of God, amen, and made me a creature of Christ, hallelujah. Amen to God, that's right. If I could run, I'd just about have a run and shout and spell right now, buddy. It's good to know him. Thank God, that's right. But they made a fuss about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus gets working, don't you think the devil ain't going to show up? I'll guarantee you old Slewfoot's going to show up somewhere, and he's going to open his mouth, and he's going to let everybody know that he's the devil. I learned that a long time ago. That's right. God get to working. You mark her down, the devil ain't going to let nothing happen if he can keep from it. And when he shows up, he'll open his mouth wide and stick his cloven foot in it. Somebody said, why did he say a cloven foot? Because they had two golden calves in Samaria, and the calf got a cloven foot. And that's what a lot of people are after today, that golden calf. Come on in now. Now, I'm not saying the devil is a calf. You know better than that. He's a spirit. He's an angel. A created angel and a fallen being. He's Lucifer, the son of the morning. Some believe that he was such a beautiful cherub that he sang beautiful. He could sing in a beautiful way. And he glorified all of heaven with his voice. But I'm going to tell you, there come a day when he said, I'll exalt myself above the Most High. And God said, in a pig's eye. The Bible said he was all right until iniquity was found in him. And I'm going to tell you what happened to him. God put him out of heaven, friend. Amen. That's right. Put him out. And one day, he put him out of heaven, and one day he's going to put him in hell. That's right. And he's going to be there forever and ever. Now I got to hurry. Their outcry, the scribes. And then the outcome. The outcome. Look at verse number 5. Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Did you catch a word there that I missed until this morning? You didn't, did you? I never caught it until this morning. And I said, Lord, I've got to miss it. Let me read it again. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's a little three-lettered word in there. Does anybody notice it? It's a win! And it's in capital letters! Woo! What Jesus is saying is, he's one of mine! Hallelujah! I have forgiven him. He's a son. Son, thy sins be forgiven him. Ain't that what the prodigal's father said to him?
Right.
Basically the same thing. This my son was lost and is found. He was dead and he's alive and he was lost and he's now found. Called him his son.
Amen.
He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hallelujah. Already recognized him as sonship. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. There ain't nothing any more blessed than to be a son of the living God. Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
to be a son of God. Can you get a hold of that? Now, fleshly, I'm a son of Truman Alfred and Marietta Harris Hall. Marietta Harris and Truman Alfred Hall. I'm out of their loins. Together they brought me into this world. And I'm going to tell you, they brought me into the world. But Jesus took me out of the world. His birth brought me out of the world. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, you look to me like you're here. You ain't looked in the right place. I'm already seated in heavenly places with Christ. I'm already there. Don't think when I got saved they had to set another plate at the table, friend. I already had enough plates up there. When I got saved and you got saved, Jesus didn't say, well, my goodness, look down there, old Hall got in. Nothing's ever taken him by surprise.
Amen.
No, nothing ever took him by surprise, folks. Now, notice their outcome. And the people were surprised. Notice what about, and immediately in verse 12, he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all of them. Wonder how he got out the door. There were so many around the door you couldn't get in. But all of a sudden this guy goes out carrying his own bed. I would imagine when they saw him that was let down, they begin to say, gangway! Make way! Here he comes! You know why they done that? He was a son of God. Make way for this child of God. Come on now, the spiritual thought behind that is that God will make a way for you and I.
Amen.
Oh yes, and I'm going to tell you, when God makes a way for us, there'll be people around us that'll be like these people. The Bible said they were astonished. Said, I've never seen it on this fashion in my life, never before.
Amen.
They were astonished, they were amazed. They were, in fact, that word astonished means they were surprised. If I can say it, not taking anything away from the Bible, but astonished, that word astonished simply means they were surprised. My goodness, that man used to lay a few blocks down the street here with a palsy. How'd he get in here?
Amen.
The crowd outside may not even know he was in there. Where'd he come from? How'd he get in the house? He was a PC! You know what that means? It's a privileged character. He was grace and privilege to get in the house where Jesus was. And when he come out, that crowd said, my lands, the last time I saw him, he was 7 blocks down the road on a stretcher and couldn't walk. And here he is now, carrying his bed, walking out of the house where Jesus is. And the Bible said, they said, I ain't never seen it like this before. Shocked them pretty good, didn't it? Now I'm going to tell you. And the Bible said they glorified God. Didn't say they got saved, but they had to glorify God. Now them glorifying God, they just simply, you know, how did this happen? The thing of it is, when they glorified God, they come to the conclusion that what happened to that man with the palsy couldn't have been done without God doing it.
Right, amen.
They had to give God the glory.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, when sinners get saved, God will do it in such a way that it gives Him maximum glory.
Amen.
And He got maximum glory out of this. Folks, He's the center of the souls of men. And I'm telling you, we need a burden like them four.
Amen.
We need to pick up those that are sick of the palsy.
Yes,
we need to take hold of the hand of those that are blind. We need to get a hold of those that are deaf and can't hear and lead them by the way. Those that are sick and on beds of affliction, we need to carry them to the house of God. Or listen to what I'm saying. We need to get people to God. It's as simple as that. And if we can get them to Him, I'll guarantee you they'll leave a different way. And the folks out there that used to know Him will say, I ain't never seen it on that fashion before. God had to be in it. God had to be in it. I've had people to tell me, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I had a man to tell me. I knew Shelby Wilson a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you who it was, so don't even ask me. And he said, as long as he's been in church, something had to happen to him. Because I knew him. I knew what kind of a man that he was. And I see what kind of a man that he is. And it wasn't Cater. I'm just telling you. Because him and Cater used to be they're buddies. They used to run together a lot. When they went to the mountain, they went to the ocean one time, took them 3 days to get there. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that that man that told me that was amazed. And he had to glorify God for what was done. Or he had enough sense to know that no man could do these miracles like he won't say Zacchaeus, Zacharias, John 3, huh? Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with you. That's what they said. God has to be with that man. Because what happened to him would have never happened outside of God. And they glorified God. Now what are we going to do? We're going to try to get people to God. They went the extra mile by carrying that man, pressing their way through the multitudes, getting him up on the roof, tearing the roof up, and letting him down in the presence of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up your bed and walk. And he did.
Amen.
Let's stand together.